So Parshas Matos begins with a Moshe Rabbeinu directing his comment to the Rosh HaMatos, hence the name of the Parsha.
Where do these people come from? Why the Matos? They've been absent for much of the previous Parshios. In fact, that's part of the point. Moshe now is in full retirement mode. Obviously, Devarim is an incredible, incredible sefer, and the Sifrei Torah, the 13th Sifrei Torah that Moshe wrote the last day of his life, and a part of that retirement is succession and Aaron yielding to Elazar and Moshe yielding to Yoshua. And part of it is trying to empower a new generation of Rosh HaMatos. We call them the Nesiim. And the Nesiim have had a bit of a checkered history in Sefer HaMidbar. We met one group of Nesiim in the beginning of the Sefer, but an entirely different group of Nesiim, of course, through the Meraglim, and they lead to the great and tragic wandering through the desert, the rerouting of history, and then presumably a third group of Nesiim in these Rosh HaMatos. So there's no question that directing these halachos and these comments to the Rosh HaMatos is important. It reinforces the political hierarchies of the people that have been ravaged by so many rebellions. Keep in mind there's a lot of Shevet identity that's being considered now that the Shvatim have been lined up to receive different lands of Israel. For 40 years, the only difference as to which Shevet you belong to was when you traveled and which sector or which region you inhabited. Now, there's going to be some really important connotations to which Shevet you belong to, and that is all exacerbated or magnified by the Benot Selavchot, who receive Menashe lands, but if they marry non-Menashe husbands, the lands will transfer out of Shevet, and hence those are some of the accommodations of the end of the Sefer. But the Ramban feels that the directing of these laws to the Rosh HaMatos is not just generic in order to empower them, position them, nominate them, reinforce Shevet identity, all important, but that there's something very specific about the laws of Nedarim, and in particular, the laws of Nedarim are delicate, and as they're delicate, they have to be entrusted with people of discretion, who appreciate nuance, who won't be prone to extremism, who won't create errors. Now, I don't have the Ramban in front of me. I'm driving. I'm in a very busy day. I think Ramban talks about specific halachos that are very, very delicate and nuanced. But there's no question that beyond particular halachos, the entire field of Nedarim and Nezirus is very delicate, very nuanced, easily misunderstood. And it's not just about the Nesiim preserving or protecting or safeguarding this halacha or that halacha. It's about an entire swath of halacha, of religious behavior, being understood properly in the right context. And I think there really are two issues here. Keep in mind, the Torah does not use the word lahafli here. That's a verb from Parshas Nasa when the Torah describes the cousin of Nedarim. And that's, of course, Nezirus. But the Rambam includes all the laws of Nedarim under one of the 14 sections, which he dubs or he titles Hafla. And Hafla literally means a mystery, something unknown, something not entirely obvious, but it has become, because of the Pasuk Kiafli, so the word Pella means a mystery, but Kiafli has come to mean verbal articulation, verbal assignment, such as a Nazir, such as a Neder. What happens is as follows. A neder, or for that matter a nazir, has the capacity to transform items and lend them status where they don't otherwise independently or inherently possess them. So if you're looking at a chazir, that's usser. Halacha landscaped a chazir, even though its DNA may be very similar to that of a cow, a genetic pig is usser. A genetic cow is mutter. But I could come with a neder and install a status even though it's not physically or visually discernible. What difference is there between a cow upon which a neder was made or a cow upon which a neder wasn't made? But halacha assigns differences. And that recognition that there are statuses and labels and titles that don't reflect in physical Chaza reflects in physical. Even Nevela, Trefa, was it shechted properly? Was it an animal that could live? These all have physical references. But then there's an entire world which has no physical manifestation of the internal status. And people could become very disdainful, neglectful, just disinterested. They're in a physical world. Well, what do you mean that it's usher, that it's mutter, because it has kedusha or non-kedusha, toma, tara, neder, not neder? And some people live so trapped in a material world that the whole world of statuses and labels that are unseen just don't speak with them or to them. So the matos, the Rashi matos, the leaders have to apprise them and sensitize them to this world. On the other hand, there's a danger in embracing this world too fervently, because then you assume that human beings don't really have freedom of choice, and the world and objects have spirit and identities, and I've talked about this in the past couple of weeks, good items, bad items, holy items, impure items. An item only has purity, impurity, holiness, non-visible statuses because human beings install them. At the heart of a nether is a human being, ish ki afli. A person has to designate. So it's important to create calibration. There could be some people just, I don't eat chazer. I don't eat basa b'chalav. I don't tear on Shabbos. But don't tell me that this item is different from that item. They look the same, taste the same, and feel the same. So for those people, the leader's role is to inform them and to heighten the sense of an invisible world of statuses and spirits, and not spirits, but identities and labels that halacha assigns, even without physical reference points. And there are some people who see forces and spirits and evil and good in inanimate objects when they don't exist. There's really no difference between a nevela and a shchuta. There's no difference. It's both meat. It's not like one meat is satanic and one meat is kosher. It's just meat. Human beings can differentiate between nevela and shchuta. Animals that were shechted properly by a human being are edible. Animals that were not are not edible. Items that were contaminated, impurified, are tameh. Items that had a neder installed are usher. Items that don't have a neder installed are not usher. It's human beings. Nothing innately has a shame neder or a shame usher. So it's important to create balance about how you view the world and the materials around you. Some are unable to see beneath the material level. Some just excessively pour spirit into material items when it doesn't stem from human authorship. And it's up to leaders to create that healthy calibration.